The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Wyatt Tomchek, the voice of the Lady Rebels. What are the prospect of the Lady Rebels this coming year?
Real excited for it. I can't wait for November. I think
you're pumped.
They've got a real good shot of going three in a row.
Star player's name again is
Desiree Young from Desert Oasis High School down the road.
Desiree Young. Yep. That's right. Memorable name. Even though I needed you to jog it for me, but she yeah, it's a great ball player. Wyatt joins us all week long in Kelly's absence. We get tweets at Beating the Book, and somebody did ask about Kelly, specifically what Chris Felica brought up earlier, which is, did our boy Kelly have Keegan Bradley at the Travelers? No, he didn't. After all these weeks of betting Keegan Bradley, he didn't have him at the Travelers. Todd Bubba Horowitz, another tennis winner from the man. Thank you, Anna Bogdan. Good way to start the week. Yes, it was. After the Krejcikova loss yesterday. Elvis Toast Patterson, Gilly, any shot you hedge on LSU with the Gators tonight, if you get a good price on in-game to make a profit. I mean, no, it's only a +230 ticket. I bet it for a reason. Skeens in the last game against Wake Forest and the notion of Skeens playing in the rubber match. So I don't intend, I'm not like approaching the game with that intention tonight. Adam Burke, kind enough to join us in studio. He's our senior MLB analyst, which I hope to get a thought or two about Major League Baseball from him in a moment. But it is our betting guide week. It comes out on Thursday, VSiN.com/subscribe. Adam did a great job of breaking down all the different things we have in it last segment. We talked about the season win totals you want no part of. I don't want you to give them away, you know, give away all of them because I want people to get the betting guide. But give us one or two that you are betting, season win total, NFL.
Might seem a little square, but I do think Denver bounces back. I mean, I don't think that Russ is completely done. I think Nathaniel Hackett was as clearly in over his head as we saw. And it was just a bad situation all the way around. And look, I think a guy like Sean Payton's able to kind of smooth out the waters a little bit, you know, with everything that's going on with Russ. This is a very, very talented team. And something I think you want to look at, there's a metric over at Football Outsiders called adjusted games lost, which is games lost due to injury, but it weights them based on kind of the importance of the players that were lost. Last year for Denver, they had the second most adjusted games lost on offense and the fifth most on defense. Still had a top 10 defense by EPA per play. They were 30th in third down conversion rate. So they put that defense in a lot of bad situations, and they still performed really, really well. Now you get Peyton with a quarterback that has a track record. And furthermore, that track record, when with a competent head coach, is actually quite good. So I think this Denver team, you know, over the 8.5 that's out there, I think that's a play that I like because, again, I don't think that Russ is done, and there's a ton of talent on that roster.
Yeah, and a lot of that market is just this sort of Russell hate that exists out there. Mm-hmm. Like, he's an easy guy for people to pile on
right.
and dislike. 8.5, Adam Burke going over the season win total on the Denver Broncos. One more here.
Yeah, I can throw you an under here, too. And again, I mean, a lot of these, look, quarterback is just such an important position out there. I know there's a lot of love for the Chicago Bears. A lot of people seem to like them to really make a big leap.
Don't they feel like, remember last year it was everybody loved the Lions.
Right.
This feels like that this year.
Yeah, and look, I mean, the Lions, they got very hot in the second half yes. of the year. They were an offense that nobody wanted to play, and I do have a little bit of a long shot prop on the Lions that I wrote about in the guide. But for Chicago, look, there is no way in hell that I could be interested in an over with a quarterback who gets hit all the time like Justin Fields does. Not just the fact that, you know, their pass protection is a little bit iffy, but, I mean, this dude has to run the football a ton for them to even move the ball offensively. And you really worry about a guy like that actually staying together throughout the course of the season. And I do, to some degree, like Detroit. I think people are way too low on Minnesota just because, you know, they outperformed so much last year relative to their Pythagorean win-loss and some of their other metrics. And maybe Green Bay will be decent.
I
think Chicago is the team that draws the short straw here. I like the under 7.5 for them.
Under 7.5. Green Bay is Wyatt is clapping. He likes that opinion because he's a Vikings guy.
No bias there, Adam. Obviously a lot of bias, but I love your assessment of the Chicago Bears. Bravo, sir. That was probably thing we'll hear all day.
Thank you. Go Buckeyes.
You got a bravo.
Okay, now, never mind. I take it back. I don't want your signature anymore.
The Packers thing is interesting though, because you hear them. This is anecdotal, but it feels like you hear the widest variance of opinion on the Packers, right? Some people immediately go to, it's Jordan Love, it's no longer Aaron Rodgers, draw the line, they're going to stink. I'm kind of, you know, I was mentioning this last week. that there's a long history of quarterbacks in the NFL back in the day when you didn't have to start immediately. If you held the clipboard for years under the same coaching staff, you oftentimes came out spectacular after that. And the team I grew up loving, Washington, had a litany of guys like that, Rippon, Humphreys, Trent Green. Jordan Love has held the clipboard under Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur all this time. He may actually be pretty good.
Yeah, he might be. I mean, I do lean a little bit with the under, but at the same time, it's just because, again, Jordan Love, I don't know what he is. I have no clue what he is. And I would assume that he'd be below average more than I would assume he'd be above average, just for the simple fact that I haven't seen him get a whole lot of reps. And, you know, there's not really a great track record for guys that played at a place like Utah State coming out and having success in the NFL just because of the quality of competition that they play. But Matt LaFleur is a good head coach. Mm-hmm. As you said, he's been, you know, under Aaron Rodgers for a long time. There's good talent at the wide receiver position for that Packers team. So I could see it. But, you know, one other thing I want to mention real quick about Chicago, the schedule matters a lot here too. In the 11 weeks prior to their week 13 bye, they play 7 road games. So this is a pretty shallow roster where I don't think the schedule works out all that well for the Bears either. So that's something that does concern me quite a bit.
Say that about the road games again. What did you say?
So, and they'll play 7 road games in 11 weeks leading into their week 13 bye.
Oh, they
so
sure
it's a
do.
Very, very yeah. late bye week for them yeah. with a team that's got a pretty shallow roster. They were dead last in third down defense last year. They were last in EPA per play on defense. Like, Justin Fields has to be Superman for this team, I think, to sniff, you know, I would say 500, but now that they're 17 games, to sniff going 8-9, I feel like.
And they are not easy road games either. Vikings, Lions, Chargers.
And even
them.
One of the home games is on a short week, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a bit of a tricky schedule, I think, for them.
You are our senior MLB analyst, so I did want to bend your ear about some baseball stuff. First of all, it's only 6 games today, 3 of which are north of $2 favorites, a fourth that is close to a $2 favorite, so it's not exactly the sexiest card. Do you have any lean at all today on any of these?
I mean, I kind of lean under a little bit in the Twins and Braves just because this could be a game with a lot of strikeouts where you got Spencer Strider going against the Twins who strike out at like a 27% rate. Then you got Sonny Gray who – he's starting to spring some leaks, and I'm kind of getting concerned about him long-term, but the Braves, you know, they beat up on really, really bad pitching. They've done that quite a bit here lately. You know, the Reds, as great of a story as they are, their pitching's still not great. They swept the Rockies and scored 40 runs in 4 games. But when they face decent, above-average, elite right-handers, that's when they struggle a little bit, and they can swing and miss. So if you could find an 8.5, I think an under there maybe isn't that bad. The other one I was thinking about is I think Reed Detmers is a little bit underrated and undervalued at this point in time. If you look at his advanced metrics, they're actually pretty good. The third time through the order, though, he's been the worst pitcher in baseball. So that's the thing I worry about with him. But the White Sox aren't a great lineup. I'm just trying to decide, do I want to lay, you know, $1.35 here to back the Angels, who they are finding some spectacularly bad ways to lose here recently.
And a big revenge spot for the Braves in that game against the Twins from that 1991 World Series.
Oh,
big,
of course.
Big revenge spot.
Of course, yeah.
I'm still
yeah.
sick about
gotta
it.
Keep that in mind.
I wasn't born, but I'm still sick about it.
Still sick. You and I exchanged some texts about the Giants yesterday. Giants won 2 of 3 games against the Diamondbacks. They are 2.5 games out of the NL West lead.
Really best record in baseball since May 1st, I think?
That is correct, sir. Yeah. That is correct. A whole bunch of bests, run differential and batting average. Like, the batting average as a team, that team has the best since May 1st. You believe in this, though. You believe that it's sustainable because of sort of the genius of Farhan Zaidi, the in-game managing of Gabe Kapler, and just the way that they approach the game of baseball.
Yeah, I mean, look, I believed in this team after 2021, which is easy to say. I mean, they won 107 games, but like everybody was expecting them to take a huge step back. Ultimately, they did, and they only finished 500. But that really, really surprised me because I think this is a really, really well-run organization because they're doing things on the pitching side that I would have loved to have seen more teams do. They're kind of piggybacking guys. They're using openers, but then also using a second reliever or even a third reliever before going to a bulk guy like Sean Manaea or Tristan Back or Jake Junis, something like that. They're just leveraging what they have really, really well, where right now they really only have 3 starters because of the injuries that they're dealing with. But then offensively, so they were one of the trailblazers, them and the Dodgers, not surprising, especially with Zaidi, you know, and his relationship with Andrew Friedman and all that. they have multiple hitting coaches on the roster that are capable of working with individual players and having individual hitting plans for these guys instead of the overarching organizational philosophy. Like for Cleveland, it's just, hey, put everything in play. Doesn't matter if you hit it hard or not, just put everything in play. And their offense isn't very good. For the Giants, it's, hey, you need to do this. You need to do this. Let's tweak this. Let's tweak that. And they're doing that on an individual player level. And you see the success that they're having with that. The Dodgers call up a bunch of dudes from the minor leagues. They let some of their proven MLB talent go. They still have a top five offense in baseball. Why? Because they take the time with individual coaches, tailoring plans to each hitter's skill set, and they're able to create some surplus value because of it. That's what the Giants are doing this year, along with leveraging their pitching staff really well. I think this is very, very sustainable, not just this year, but I think they've built themselves into one of the league's premier organizations from an analytics standpoint.
Oh, let it wash over me. Right now, Dodgers minus 145 to win the division. They're three games out. Diamondbacks are in the lead, are plus 330. Giants plus 360. They're 2.5 out, as I mentioned. Always shop around because you might be able to get incrementally better at different shops. Padres 14-1, 9.5 out. Is there a bet there?
I still think ultimately the Dodgers win it as their pitching staff gets healthier. But I will say this. I don't love Arizona long term. Their pitching staff scares the hell out of me. But offensively, they are overperforming a lot on their high velocity contact metrics. And as that comes back to the pack, it'll force their pitching staff to be better. And I don't know if that's in the cards for them.
Adam Burke, ladies and gentlemen. Adam, thank you for stopping by. Always a pleasure, man.
Always fun.
Adam Burke, our senior MLB analyst, and prominent, of course, in the NFL betting guide out on Thursday. VSiN.com/subscribe. Will Hill and all his bets next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Splitting bets.
Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you smarter, better year-round. Check them out, all of today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. By the way, the origin of the split and bet scream, do you know who was responsible for that? Are you aware of who?
Was it Kelly?
No, it was Matt Brown.
That's right.
On Primetime Action, I would just read the promo and then randomly, you know, because we'd be punch drunk by the end of the day. He would just yell it out.
I feel like anything that's been screamed is a Matt Brown thing.
Yeah, when we got split and bets in the divorce when we split up afterwards.
How much do you think he's going to scream tonight if LSU wins the national championship?
Oh, he's going to be pumped. You know, he used to pitch for LSU.
I heard.
He doesn't talk about it ever. He used to pitch for them.
I tried to look up, his stats, but you know how many Matt Browns there are in the world?
175.
Yes, it was really tough.
Yeah, it's tough when you're Matt Brown. He gets mistaken for Matt Brown, the UFC fighter, sometimes, he says. Like, people come at him after a fight. He's like, it's not me, dude. So, yeah.
I had a friend who, his name was Brandon Rios. And there was a boxer named Brandon Rios. And he said one time he ordered food and people got excited and they looked at us like, oh.
Not quite.
Not this guy.
Not quite as buff, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
By the way, what Adam was saying about the Giants, just absolutely brilliant. Let me just say this as a Giants homer. I do want to say it is the evolution. I think that needs to be stressed, you know, as much as possible. The evolution of sort of how baseball front offices approach the game of baseball is one of the more fascinating things in the world. And it's, you know, in the mid part of the last decade, the Royals famously got to two World Series, one World Series by a back to top approach where they started with their three guys in the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings. The Giants, when they won their three World Series, while other players, starters like Madison Bumgarner and Tim Lincecum, and then players like Buster Posey and Pablo Sandoval got all the press, really the most common element of those three World Series championships were bullpen guys who I want to say five of them played on all three of those teams. So this is kind of the evolution of it. Then the Tampa Bay Rays did openers, and now you're seeing the Giants piecemeal. When I would go to a Sloan Sports Analytics conference at MIT 10, 11 years ago, some of these graduate students who were looking for jobs in analytics would write papers. I remember reading papers about the optimal way to actually manage a baseball game would be to figure out a way to piecemeal this. Obviously, there's a consideration about keeping your arms, though, healthy and rested. That's the biggest problem of this. But if you can manage that somehow, that truly is the optimal way to play baseball. And what you're seeing from the Giants this year is the closest to that as we've ever. So it's really fascinating. He may not be a Giants guy, but he is intimately knowledgeable of the Yankees above all. Will Hill joins us, everybody, at Not The Will Hill. That's with two E's on the V. VEASAN's own VEASAN contributor. How you doing, Will?
Gil, what's going on? I can't believe we're talking Giants. This is a surprise. Have you finished your investigation from Saturday of the home plate umpire and the Giants Diamondbacks? I mean, I was trying to host a show here on VEASAN. I'm getting texts from Gil left and right. Like, it's the Zapruder film of check swings against the Giants and Diamondbacks. I mean, has your investigation concluded yet or what?
Well, I was betting on the Giants, and I was angry when I was texting you. By the way, the Giants did end up winning that ball game when Luis Matos hit the first home run of his career to essentially win it for the Giants. I think it was 7-5 was the final. But the Giants were up in that game, and the home plate umpire, Mike Machinsky, is that his name? I can't know. Don't hold me to that. But every call, like, I know this happens in every Major League Baseball game, but literally Merrill Kelly could have a pitch 3 inches outside of the strike zone. He's like, that's a strike. And then the Giants, Manaea, was getting squeezed. I apologize. I didn't know you were hosting a show at VEASAN. Otherwise, I wouldn't have subjected you to that. But yes, I was sending you actual shots of that. I know. I'm a dork. Okay, let me talk about your Yankees here for a second. Aaron Judge, the big revelation in baseball, had nothing to do with anybody but Aaron Judge this week. Aaron Judge, torn ligaments in a toe. And so, I mean, you've been best about this subject more than anybody. I've heard it from you, which is, man, when he's not playing, they're terrible. Let's put some actual win-loss numbers to this. They're 30. This was going into yesterday, so it's one better. They're 31-19 with Judge in the lineup. They're now 12-16 when he's on the IL. Is that a portent of things to come, sir?
And that's with two wins in a row. So they were 10-16 the other day. They actually won 1-0 on Saturday, and they were able to come from behind and have a nice series win as they beat the Rangers yesterday. Really, the best bets when Judge are out has been the Yankees team total under. They just can't hit. They just can't score. I would say the best bets are the team total under, except for the days where I just ratchet up my bets a little bit. Then it tends to sneak over the total somehow, which is really frustrating. But yeah, I mean, you can get them at Caesars, 90.5 wins. I still like the under. They're plus, I think, 195 now at DraftKings to miss the playoffs. If you hear Judge, if you listen to Boone, it's really sort of ominous, where it's like, I hope to be back. I think I'll be back. We'll see. I mean, there's no timeline. There's no certainty. I'm just telling you, if they don't get him back and get him back relatively soon, and there's too many good teams in the American League, they're not going to make the playoffs. I mean, there's just not enough offense there. Stanton is really starting to show his age, just can't catch up to the fastball anymore. You know, Rizzo's a nice player. Rizzo's like a six hitter on a really good team, but he's not a guy that's going to carry your team. Gleyber Torres is super hot and cold. It's just there's not a lot of talent there.
I don't know if you know this, Will, but I'm no physician, but toe injuries, I'm told. Man, you just don't know, right? They have no set timetable. Like, oh, he blew out his knee, or he ruptured his Achilles. Right. Here's your timetable. With a toe, you just have no idea. He says, Judge does, that he is in intense pain because it's his plant foot, you know, when he's swinging.
Jeez.
Yeah, so I don't know.
And he stayed in the game that night. It was the Saturday night. It had to be like 3 weeks ago. It was right during the NBA Finals. I think that Sunday night game the next night was when game two of the Finals was, the Yankees-Dodgers. He stayed in the game. Then after the game, it's like, I should be able to play tomorrow. And you know, Yankee fans are like, man, hopefully he doesn't miss a game. And now here we are 3 weeks later, and we haven't seen him since. It's really a strange situation.
Yeah, that was when he crashed into the bullpen wall.
Right.
Yeah. You never know.
Well, he's a hell of an outfielder. I mean, he's a great player. He's not a good player. He's a great player. He hits home runs, hits for average. He walks, plays a great outfield. You know, he's a good arm. It's just, you look back and hate to say it, but last year's the outlier. Last year's the year he stays healthy. If you just go back of the baseball card, I mean, he misses a lot of games, and you could say it's fluky stuff. You know, he got hit, I think, on the wrist once with like a 97 mile an hour fastball, missed a bunch of weeks once he got hurt on a check swing. I mean, I don't know if it's he's big and he's injury prone. Maybe that's it, but he misses a lot of games.
So under on the adjusted season win total?
I would. 90.5. I think that's a good bet. And probably the plus 195 to miss. I mean, I don't know what I'm missing with that one. Unless he comes back soon, I don't know how they're making the playoffs.
Yeah, plus 195 to miss the playoffs. Right now, if the playoffs were to start, they're in it. But plus 195 is a pretty juicy number on the no there. Anything today? It's a short card. Six games. Anything in baseball?
You know, it's funny. You asked Adam Burke what he liked, and I was just thinking in the back of my head, please don't say the under in the Twins Braves. That's the only game I like, and I don't want to copy him, but that's the only game I played. I played under 4.5 the first five with Graver, Strider. And yeah, this is an ugly slate. I don't know why baseball does this with the schedule. I mean, you go long stretches like Friday, they had no day game. Saturday, they had one 1 o'clock Eastern game, then 10 games at 4 o'clock, then only a couple at night. It's strange how they staggered the schedule. It's the summer. There's nothing going on.
Yeah.
You know, build up your sport, play a couple games during the day, give us something to watch. But yeah, it's an ugly card. I did play the under though. In Twins Braves here.
And then remember there was that one day, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, where I texted you and Felica. I was like, why are there four games at noon Eastern? When did that happen?
Hey, so strange. Yeah. It's really strange.
Okay, it is NFL betting guide week this week here on the network. Will, do you have any plays that you've made in the NFL?
I've made lots of plays. I mean, this is starting to be the time where I just get in on a bunch of player props under. I just think there's so many ways to win your bet, whether it's injury, guy gets benched, underperformance. There's just so many ways to win. So a couple I played, and I've given them out on other shows, but Desmond Ridder under passing yards. I think we could see Taylor Heinicke at some point. I'm not sold on Ridder. I think it's like 2,700 passing yards. I played Russell Wilson under. I think it's 3,800 passing yards. Again, I don't know that Sean Payton's married to him, so if he doesn't play well, could you see Stidham, who they gave a decent amount of money to? Again, if Wilson gets hurt and misses three or four games, you're automatically going to win your bet. So Wilson under. I played two under 3,900 passing yards. I just don't know if he's going to stay healthy. So I like to play a lot of unders. In terms of the teams, again, I agreed with Adam on a couple of them. I think Minnesota is underrated. I know they weren't a 13-win team last year, but to expect them to go down to 8 is a huge adjustment. So I do like that over. And look, I like the Jets. I think people are just rooting for this to fail because of, you know, the Jets have just been such a laughing stock, such a punchline for so long, and people don't like Rodgers because he's a diva, and people are like, oh, this is just going to fall flat on its face. I don't think so. This team was 5-2 last year when they scored more than one touchdown on offense. They were about to be 8-4. Berrios drops the ball in Minnesota in the end zone. Would have made them 8-4. They just got nothing from the quarterback play. I think Rodgers will be reinvigorated. I think, you know, going to a new setting, a new scenario here, he'll actually play pretty well. So I like the Jets over 9.5. I like him plus 2. You can get him, I think, plus 270 to win the division. I like the Jets.
Bullish on the Jets. That thing you said about Minnesota, before we leave, I just want to seize on that. I don't want to gloss over that. Just because a team got super fortunate one year in terms of their one score wins and Minnesota was just off the charts good fortune doesn't mean, I don't know what it is about our brains, that means, oh, well, the next year, then they're just going to sink into oblivion, right? It's going to regress massively. Maybe, maybe not. And it should regress some, but it doesn't mean it's going to go into the abyss. And so I think that's a point that needs to be made. Not just that may be the most glaring example, but there's plenty of those as well. So Will bullish on the Vikings as well. Will, always a pleasure. Plug away, sir.
Twitch.tv/GoBoysNetwork, 1 o'clock Eastern. Check it out.
Will Hill at not the Will Hill. Thank you, William. Appreciate it. Will Hill, everybody. Coming back, Wes Reynolds, his thoughts from the NFL betting guide, and more next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for only 19 United States dollars. That's it. At vsin.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. Ladies and gentlemen, along with Adam Burke, he is the glue that holds this entire operation together. He is the co-host of VSiN Tonight, which he does with Matt Eumanns each and every weekday night here on the network. You can follow him on Twitter at WesReynolds1. That's the number one. Coincidentally, ladies and gentlemen, it's Wes Reynolds. How you doing, Wes?
Good morning, Gil. How are you?
I'm well. Did you have Keegan Bradley, by the way?
I did not. I had Brian Harman. So three straight weeks now after two winners, three straight weeks with runners up, Fleetwood in Canada, Rory at the U.S. Open, and Brian Harman T2. But he was never really in it. Keegan Bradley at one point, had like a 6-shot lead in the final round.
Okay. Any Rocket Mortgage thoughts or we should wait for long shots for those?
I'll have those tomorrow. I'll be writing that column today, but it looks like a pretty wide open event where the favorite is actually 14-1. So, you know, we've been getting these events where we're getting like 6-1, 7-1, or plus 750, but none of the real top big guns, the usual favorites, the Schefflers, the Rahms, the McElroys this week. So very wide open event in Detroit.
All right, let's talk NFL Betting Guide. It is NFL Betting Guide week. It comes out on Thursday here at VSiN. Adam Burke already talking about it earlier on the show. And there is no shortage of things to talk about in the National Football League. Now, you've been on here before, and you've discussed a couple big division bets that you've made, namely in the AFC South and the NFC South. You wrote about both of those divisions in the guide. But for those who missed it, let's talk AFC South first. What is your favorite bet of them all here, sir, in the AFC South?
Well, it would probably be, for me, the actual division win. And I like the Tennessee Titans at $4 or more. I think you could get a little bit more than 4-1 still in the market. And it's not just a case of, like, loving Tennessee necessarily. It's just the fact that I think Jacksonville's gotten overpriced in the market. I think that they're the justifiable favorite, but I've seen them 160, minus 165, minus 170. And look, they have a quarterback that has the potential to be something special, Trevor Lawrence, and I think he's going to continue to develop. I think that offense is going to score points, but I think we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves here with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I know they won the division last year, but keep in mind, this team did start 3-7, and the division really broke for them in the AFC South, if you recall, because Houston obviously was in the midst of a rebuild, and they still are. Indianapolis had fired Frank Reich midway through the season and had a couple injuries kind of stack up. And speaking of injuries, nobody was hurt more than the Tennessee Titans, especially on defense. Nobody, if you look at the Football Outsiders metric of adjusted games lost, no one had more adjusted games lost on defense than the Tennessee Titans. That team started out 7-3 and then didn't win a game for the rest of the season, yet had a lead in the fourth quarter on the road with a guy that was a practice squad quarterback in Joshua Dobbs in the final week of the season, week 18, in Jacksonville. It was 16-10, and then Jacksonville gets a field goal, and then Dobbs gets hit, fumbles. Jacksonville gets a defensive touchdown and ends up winning the AFC South in the final week. So it's just more of a case of just taking a price here, Gil, I think. But I do think Tennessee is going to be better now that they're healthier.
So in addition to the Titans winning the division, would you take them over 7.5 then? It would seem. And then what's your point with Jacksonville where you would actually go under on them?
Yeah, I'd have to get 10, and that's what I got, 10 plus 105, which is still out there at a couple places. I didn't get the 10.5s that were out there earlier in the spring, but I just looked at Jacksonville. Now that they're the division winner, they have to play the other division winners, and the schedule gets much tougher. So they have to play Kansas City and Buffalo and San Francisco. Meanwhile, Tennessee, they get that second place schedule. And, you know, with Tannehill coming back, and look, Tannehill is a middling starting quarterback at best at this standpoint, but he's better than what they were throwing out there in the second half of the season in the midst of that 7-game losing streak. So yeah, I think 7.5 over. I think I've seen plus 110 out there at least as recently as last week. So that'd be the way I'd go. If you don't want to play both, just pick one or the other. But I think Tennessee at above 4-1, this has been like their division. And now Mike Vrabel is back in the role of the underdog. We know on a game-to-game basis that Mike Vrabel is really good as an underdog. I think he's just a little bit over 500 straight up as an underdog, let alone against the number.
Let's go to the NFC South. And by the way, by the end of the week, we'll try to get to every single division in some regard in the NFL, heading into the NFL betting guide release on Thursday. Wes focused on the AFC South. He focused on the NFC South. Again, you talked a little bit about this last week. You have a division play in what is, I mean, let's face it, it's consensus that this is the worst division in all of football. I think that's probably a fair statement. Some might argue with that. But top to bottom, there's a lot of people who just go by the quarterback here, and they, you know, the belief is, well, David Carr with the Saints is going to be the best quarterback in this division, therefore the Saints will win it. You don't quite see it that way.
No, I don't. And once again, I think it's right for the Saints kind of by default to be the favorite in this division, but This is going to be Derek Carr's fifth offensive coordinator in his career. He's now with Pete Carmichael down there in New Orleans. And look, maybe Derek Carr, this is like his revenge tour because the Raiders clearly didn't want him. So now he's back with New Orleans and with the new team. Michael Thomas does return for the Saints, but is he going to be the same player he was 3 years ago? Keep in mind, he missed time with injury. He missed time with some disciplinary issues. Sean Payton, the former coach, had suspended him from the team. So I think that that's kind of a big ask for New Orleans. And then plus whatever happens with Alvin Kamara, how long that suspension is going to be for what happened out here in Las Vegas during Pro Bowl weekend a couple years ago, that there's got to be probably at least some semblance of disciplinary action for that. Tampa Bay, who knows what they are going to be. It looks like it's going to be Baker Mayfield winning that quarterback job over Kyle Trask. But this is a team now, I think, Gil, that's starting to feel the pain and the constraints of the salary cap, because they went all in with a short window with Tom Brady, and that proved to be successful in the fact that they won a Super Bowl and also two division titles in the NFC South. But now is when you pay the price. And now you've got some veterans on this team that know that they're not a Super Bowl contender, and are they going to start to look around at other teams? Meanwhile, in Carolina, new coach, new starting quarterback. I think there's potential long term, but it might be asking too much this year. So that leaves me with the Dirty Birds, the Atlanta Falcons, at about plus 250 to win the division. And I'm not totally sold on Desmond Ridder. He was 2-2 at the end of the season with those starts. One of them was against Tampa Bay when they had clinched the division and they started pulling starters in that game. But I look at the offense around him and they're going to be able to run the ball. They were top three in the NFL in running the ball last year, especially on that right side behind Lindstrom and McGarry, who finally lived up to his billing as a first-round pick. So they're going to be able to run the ball with not only Tyler Algier, who had 1,000 yards as a rookie, but also Bijan Robinson, who they drafted with the eighth overall pick out of Texas. And what I think that they could do offensively, what makes them even more dynamic, I think they could finally get Kyle Pitts the ball. And that's what you have to do. They've had him playing like tight end. He's basically a big receiver. So now you can line him out wide. You can line him up in the slot. You can line him up in tight end. Jonnu Smith, I think, was a very good acquisition for this team, and he will play tight end. He was in Tennessee, actually, with Arthur Smith, the current Falcons head coach, when he was the OC there with the Titans. So that's just going to open up the offense even more. And Atlanta also, finally, they finally got out of that salary cap hell that they were in with Matt Ryan and with Julio Jones, finally out from underneath those contracts. So Atlanta was able to spend some money on free agency to try to upgrade that defense.
Real quick then, besides a Falcons bet to win the division, I'll ask you the same that I did in the AFC South. Would you also play the Falcons over season win and the Saints under season win totals?
Yeah, I would probably play the Saints under season win. I think the Falcons at 8.5, that's probably the right price. Look, 8-9 maybe could win this division, or 9-8. I think it's going to be very similar to what the AFC South was last year. But I still think it at 5-2 plus 250 or more, there's value on Atlanta in this division.
Yeah, Atlanta 8.5. New Orleans season win total set at 9.5. By the way, the other teams in the division, just for thoroughness sake, Panthers 7.5 and the Buccaneers at a lowly 6.5. A lot of people taking a shot on the Bucs, among other teams, to have the worst record in the NFL with Baker Mayfield assumed to be the starting quarterback this year in Tampa Bay. More with Wes Reynolds on the other side. Has he added any open championship bets? Golf's fourth and final major this season coming up here in a couple weeks. And Wes is more by popular demand. Rapid fire Wes questions across the sports and non-sports betting landscapes. It's a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits, like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Wyatt Tomchek, who is in for Kelly Bidlin today, heated. Would you characterize it as heated off air, Wyatt? Our little debate.
I've had heat more.
You've had more of a heated argument. More?
Yeah.
Wyatt made the outlandish claim off air that he invented the question mark. No, that he believes. You can tell everybody. What do you believe?
I believe if you consider, I consider Missouri the South.
Just because it's in the SEC does not mean it's in the. Does not mean it's in the South.
Don't worry. I don't consider California part of the Midwest since they're going to be playing in the Big Ten.
Well, right. So, but Missouri, really? You consider Missouri part of the South? Just to give you an idea. So I grew up in D.C. Richmond, Virginia is where the South began for us, right? So it's not far from where we live, but we never considered ourselves the South. But you consider Missouri to be like a southern state?
I got a concession from this was a multiple person conversation. Yeah. I talked to obviously Ben and Jeff who went to Mizzou. They gave me the concession. I can't remember the major highway now. It's on the top of my head. But anything below that is part of the South. Anything above that, Midwest.
Wow.
There's another state that I had an argument on, but that'll be in for another time.
For another time. Yep. Mizzou, the Harvard of Boone County, as Ben Wilson calls it. Wes Reynolds joins us. Wes, Missouri, South or not?
Wyatt, I think, is taking the Missouri compromise literally, Gil.
That's exactly
considering
what
that right. in the South. Look, and the road he was referring to, I believe, was Route 66. That was what he was referring to. But yeah, I don't consider Missouri the South, but maybe you split Missouri into two states, because if you've ever been to the Show Me State, there's Missouri and there's Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And Missouri is kind of more toward like the western part of the state. And then the eastern part of the state, kind of St. Louis and the surrounding area, I would consider more Missouri.
Wes Reynolds just going 18-20 on us with the Missouri compromise. You never know what you're going to get from Wes. Wes, real quick before we get to Wes's more, did you add any open championship bets, sir?
Nothing as of yet. Just the one. Actually, I did add one last week, but nothing over the weekend. Adam Scott played very well in Hartford. He ended up finishing kind of toward the middle of like the top 15-ish. I think that was his finish. But this guy played really well. And remember what I was talking about last week, that Rory McIlroy, of course, won the Open last time in Liverpool when it was played there in 2014, and that Ricky Fowler was T2. Well, Adam Scott was T5. And I thought probably deserved a better finish, just didn't make a big move on the weekend at the Travelers. But Adam Scott, anywhere around 80-1 and anything like in the high 60s, 70s, I think is worth the play.
Chris Felica chiming in, Missouri, more south than north. And he would know, more south than north. Maybe it's my East Coast sensibility.
I like this Chris Felica. Yeah. We should have him on again this week.
We should really have him on. Let's have him on again, talk some NFL. All right, Wes, you ready for Wes's more?
We're ready.
Let's do it. We got an intro? Yes. Look at that. Are those VSiN people who shouted Wes is more, or did we get like professionals?
That is VSiN people. Who do you think, if you had to guess one of them, who do you think?
Kelly Bidlin.
That is correct. All right, that was an easy guess. Dang it.
Was Wyatt Tomchek one of them?
No,
well?
That was when I was out of town.
Oh, okay. Is that really VSiN people doing it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. All right. Wes, rapid fire questions for Wes Reynolds, ladies and gentlemen, because the man knows something about everything, sports and non-sports alike. Let's start with sports. Wes, last time we did Wes is more, I had the audacity to ask you, and I think Luis Arraez was hitting like 393 or something, and I asked you, I was like, do you think he'll ever hit 400 again? And you were like, no, and then he went 5 for 5 that night. He hit 400 by the end of the night. So let's repurpose this question. Will Luis Arraez of the Miami Marlins, and he's hitting 399 right now, will he hit 400 at the All-Star break?
Well, perhaps I should say no, and that's going to be a good thing for Luis Arraez, that he's going to be hitting like 407 at some point. So, you know, I didn't mush him. I reverse mushed him. Yes. But, yeah, I mean, if you look at the teams that the Marlins are going against, and I think that they got a good spot in the schedule, yeah, I'm going to say he's going to hit 400 by the All-Star break.
Yeah, Marlins with, and I'm going to give you the exact number here, the Marlins before the All-Star break have a grand total of, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. It's just a bit over 10. Yeah, 4, 7, 10, 13 games between now and the All-Star break. Tonight, LSU, Florida, for all the marbles in college baseball, who you got?
Boy, I hate to go against Paul Skenes, Gil, who may end up being the number one draft pick upcoming in the MLB draft. Certainly, you would think is going to be top three based on everything that I've looked at. But LSU, this is their seventh game in 8 days tonight. And, you know, I can't recall when that's happened in the College World Series. I'm not the biggest historian of that event, but this is a tough call. I would actually lean a little bit over. We've seen so many unders, and then we saw an over yesterday. I think we're starting to see over minus 115, over 9 rather, minus 115. That's where I would lean. Nothing on the side for me, kind of two conflicting things, but boy, tough to go against Paul Skenes when the marbles are on the line.
The first night of NBA Summer League in Las Vegas is next Friday, not this Friday, but next Friday over at UNLV. Will Victor Wembanyama and Brandon Miller play against each other the opening night, or will one of them be a no-show?
I'm going to say doubtful. I certainly hope so, even though I can't make the game because of the Friday night show. But that should be a pretty hot ticket. And I think that's always one of like the benchmark events of the summer league. When you get the top two picks playing against each other, I think both will probably be in attendance because I guess they're doing this little NBA con or this NBA convention now starting this year surrounding the event. So probably both will be in attendance, but if they even play, man, it might just be get out there for a few possessions and then shut it down the rest of the summer.
Oh, man, that's brutal if that happens. That's why I'm saying get your general admission tickets. Don't buy anything more expensive. That's my pro tip of the hour. You mentioned that the Titans and the Falcons, AFC South and NFC South, respectively, are your division plays. Who do you think wins the other six divisions?
Okay, the East, which I think is actually kind of a tough call this year, because I think the team that's getting hype is the Jets, but probably the team that's being discounted most is Miami. I still think the Bills win that division. I think in the North, the Bengals, even though I think that's you don't have a bad team in that division. I think the Browns are going to be better. I think the Steelers have a chance to be better under Pickett. And then also the Ravens are just always there. In the West, even though I think they're not going to be as good as they were last year, I'll say the Chiefs. In the NFC East, I will say the Philadelphia Eagles. NFC West, I'm going to go against the grain here a little bit and go with the Seattle Seahawks. Ooh. Even though I think the 49ers are going to make the playoffs, at least as a wild card. And then the NFC North, I am going to go with the Green Bay Packers.
That's
I think
my guy.
They are being oversold in the market. I think you still got a really good defense there. If Bakhtiari's healthy, you still got one of the better offensive lines in the league. These young receivers are coming into their own. And maybe they're happy to be rid of number 12 there in Green Bay. So I think they're getting a little bit oversold in the market.
Last question for Wes is more, and this is the one everybody wants to know about. When Floyd Mayweather and Colin McGregor fought, it brought in over $600 million in pay-per-view money, shattered all betting handle records, $65 million in Nevada, $79 million outside of this state legally in the rest of the world. Now you have legalized betting in 30 states. If Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg fight, as it appears to be the case that they will, give me your estimated pay-per-view number and betting handle number in the U.S.
Oh, God, if a tree falls in the woods, is anybody there to hear it? I don't think that there's as much interest as we think for this fight because, quite frankly, look, these guys have more money than I'll ever dream of having. But I find both of these guys very tedious, Gil. I don't know if I'm alone in that sentiment, Ooh. But both these guys I'm just not all that interested in them. So
yeah.
I don't have a figure for them, but I think it'll go. I'll take the under on Mayweather McGregor hand.
I'm going to go over, and I'm going to go way over. $100, they're saying, for the pay-per-view on that. I think it will be ridiculously massive. I could be wrong, but that's my hunch. Wes, always a pleasure. Thank you so much, man.
All right, good to be with you.
Wes Reynolds, 9 p.m. Eastern, tonight, as all weekday nights, with humans, right here at VSiN. The Lombardi Line is next. It's Football Guide Week. It's a numbers game. Thanks for listening. Enjoy.